My name is Gordon King. I was asked to write a reflection on risk-taking for use in the 150th anniversary of Canadian Baptist Ministries. I'm happy to record my reflections for use by groups and to provoke thought on risk-taking in our own time. The biblical verse that I was given was Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. The mission of God has always depended on risk takers. Missional risk takers are men and women of faith who plunge their lives into the hazards and potential danger with the purpose of serving God. Abraham was a risk taker. He left the security of homeland without knowing where he was going. He believed that God had a mission or a purpose that he was called to fulfill. It was Aristotle who placed the virtue of courage between two vices. On one side was cowardice, on the other side was rashness. Faithfulness in mission attempts to avoid these vices while overcoming the fears that restrain action. However, the line between rashness and risk can be hard to define. In 1994, my seminary colleague, João Matuawana, entered refugee camps in the Congo. These were camps composed of the people who'd been involved in the genocide, who'd done the killing in Rwanda, along with their families. João entered the refugee camps in the evening after United Nations troops had left. And he worked with Rwandan pastors, urging them to lead in services of confession and repentance for deeds done during the genocide. The pastors were initially hesitant because it was the genocidaires who ran the camps. But João promised the pastors, "If they kill you, I will die with you." Risk takers display courage. They live in that area between cowardice and rashness. And they push the boundaries towards rashness. The New Testament bears witness to women and men of courage who were risk takers. St. Paul wrote to the Christian community in Rome, telling them that he planned to visit them, but his visit would only be a staging point from which he intended to take the gospel to Spain. The mission of the church is not for the faint of heart. There's no room on the battlefield for cowards. The theme of courage is implicit in Paul's exhortation to Timothy to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ who bears suffering in discharging his mission. The theme of risk-taking is implicit in the famous saying of William Carey in the 1800s as he urged British Baptists to establish an international mission movement. Carey said to a meeting of British Baptists, "Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God." I myself am a veteran of mission service in Bolivia. Our work was grounded in the stories of risk takers, and I'd like to share two of them with you. The first story is about Archibald Reiki. Archibald Reiki was a Canadian Baptist pastor. He was the first foreign missionary to live and serve in Bolivia. Reiki had been a student at McMaster Seminary. He served in two student pastorates in the West in southern Manitoba. This was in the late 1800s. His call seems to have emerged out of a reading of the Gospels, prayer, and research into permanent Protestant witness in Latin America. He was convinced that Bolivia was the only South American country without Protestant churches. He risked an exploratory trip in 1896 that required over a month of travel to get to Bolivia and over a month of travel to get back to Canada. His experiences in La Paz and around Lake Titicaca further fueled his passions. Ricky faced two great obstacles. The first was that Bolivian law prohibited any church other than the Roman Catholic Church. The death penalty for Protestant evangelism was death. The second obstacle was that Canadian Baptist Mission Board was running a serious financial deficit because of commitments in India. Ricky would risk his life. Canadian Baptists would risk their finances. Ricky arrived in Bolivia for the second time in 1898. His strategy was to begin with educational work. He settled in the city of Oruro. Within a year, there were worship services taking place in a classroom. Over the next two decades, Ricky endured hardships, health problems, and opposition. He welcomed other Canadian Baptist missionaries who joined the mission in La Paz and Cochabamba. He married while on furlough in Canada, but his wife struggled with health issues in the altitude of Bolivia and was unable to remain in the country. Ricky should never be glorified by Canadian Baptists as a well-rounded saint. He could be blunt. He could be demanding. When the mission board approved opening work in Bolivia, he said he was grateful, but he wanted them to know he would have gone anyways. He could be stubborn and inflexible with colleagues who had different ideas. He did not take direction well from the mission board in Canada, and his reports were sketchy and infrequent. Ricky exemplified the independent nature and dogged determination of many pioneer missionaries of his time who were risk takers. I stand in awe of the courage of Archibald Ricky. He risked his life and his health over a period of 24 years. His brave response to God's call paved the way for those of us who came later. And the Bolivian Baptist Union owes much to his pioneer work. My second example is the martyrs in Maricamaya. The death of 8 martyrs in the mining town of Maricamaya in 1949 and the response in both Bolivia and Canada is another narrative of courage and risk-taking. Norman Dabbs, the Canadian martyr, was an outstanding young leader who had served in a pastorate in Ontario. He and his wife Lorna took a risk to say yes to God's call in Bolivia that came through Errol Merrick, who had been a former Bolivian missionary. The Dabbs family moved to a rural Bolivia in 1940. He was instrumental in the construction of the church Cristo Resucitado that is near the center square of that city, a church that I'm very grateful to have preached in a number of times. In 1949, Dabbs was winding down in Oruro and was about to take on the challenge of leadership in the new seminary that was founded in Cochabamba. Norman Dabbs traveled to the mining town of Maricamaya with 3 Bolivian friends, Pastor Carlos Meneses, Francisco Salazar, who was president of the Bolivian Baptist Union, and their driver, Luis Guerrero. Their intention was to hold evangelistic services with local believers in a public area. What they did not know was a plot to break up the meeting had taken shape the previous evening. The gathering of above 40 Baptists was attacked by an estimated 300 drunken people. The visitors and the four church members from the town were killed with stones and wooden cudgels. Three homes were burned. The Baptist congregation in a rural held an all-night service, waiting for the broken bodies to be transported to the church. During those hours, many people made courageous commitments to dedicate their lives to God in new ways. One of the young men in the church was my dear friend, the late Jaime Goitia. He had intended to participate in the trip to Mercamaya, but arrived at the church after the vehicle had left. At the time, Jaime was considering a career in law or in the military. But that night, waiting for the bodies, he made the decision to enter into the Christian ministry. Jaime Goitia went on to become a pastor, the first director of the Bolivian Bible Society, and the first Bolivian to be executive director of the Bible Society of the Americas. In retirement, Jaime became the beloved rector of the seminary in Cochabamba. The death of the martyrs also had an impact in Canada. There was a movement in churches toward a deeper commitment to God. David and Jean Phillips took the risk to answer God's call to take the place of Norman and Lorna Dabbs in Bolivia. They arrived carrying the Bible of Norman Dabbs that had been gifted to them. Jaime Goitia frequently quoted the gospel saying, "Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces fruit." It takes courage to risk your life for the gospel. Mission entails risk. The memories of the eight martyrs of Mercamaya still has the capacity to call a new generation of young leaders to embrace their place in God's mission with courage and with faith and with dedication. There are five questions in the Reflecting Light Risk Takers download, and I want to take this moment to read those questions to you. I'm drawn to the story of Jesus and his followers crossing the lake from Galilee to the Decapolis. A sudden violent storm threatened to sink the small boat, and storms could be violent on that body of water. Readers will be familiar with the narrative of how Jesus calmed the storm. He then asked his companions, "Why are you afraid?" The question seems so strange because the answer is so obvious. But a deeper reading of the passage asks us to consider the virtue of courage, actions of risk-taking, and the overcoming of our fears in our commitment to serve God in a broken and wounded world. Here's the question. Number one, let's examine our own fears when it comes to Jesus calling us out when the storms seem to be raging all around us. How would you respond to Christ's question, "Why are you afraid?" The mission of the church that is both local and global is built on risk-taking. Thankfully, not all of us face physical persecution and threats of violence, but courage is broader than standing up before a mob or before hostile government authorities who violate the right to religious freedom. Courage takes different shapes depending on the context. There's courage in leaving our vocations, our locations of security, to a space where we feel uncomfortable and feel out of place. It takes risks to cross cultural borders and barriers, even when those borders and barriers are within our own community. How would you respond to Christ's question? Why are you afraid? The second question is, are there areas where courage may be needed right now? It may be in your personal life, maybe in your family, perhaps in your business or workplace, perhaps in your church or community. What does courage, what does risk-taking look like to you? As I said, Christian courage, a Christian mission may require courage in the community. We need to confront the individualism and the destructive patterns that seem to be part of our age. We want to encourage people to believe that there can be new beginnings, that people can break free from destructive patterns of behavior. Risk-taking is required to face human issues like social housing, family violence, addictions, food insecurity, and climate change. Sometimes the positions and actions that we take will be controversial and will be opposed by parties that resist change. I think it takes courage to speak about God and for God in a secular society. I try to consider adolescents and young adults who want to bear witness to their generation that can be so cynical about faith. It requires courage to serve people. People who've been pushed aside and mistreated. Their hidden wounds sometimes lie barely under the surface, and they may be expressed in ways that are disturbing, even frightening. It takes risk. It takes courage to make a budget for programs that bear witness to God's love and God's presence in the world. A stretched budget may seem foolish and a financial risk. Finally, it takes courage to recognize our own failures and limitations in serving God. We offer our passions and our skills, but we also need to recognize that we are crooked timber. The crooked timber that God uses to build his presence in the world. We need the support, grace, and encouragement of other brothers and sisters so that we may serve with dedication and with courage. We also need models of risk-taking that come from our sisters and brothers around the world. The third question is, who inspires you because they were a risk taker? Because they showed courage in fulfilling God's purpose for their lives? You can use a real life example or a biblical example. But I want you to think of what it is about this person that sets them apart. CBM's 150th anniversary is an appropriate time to reflect on the virtue of courage and the challenges of risk-taking in the mission of the church. The fourth question is, what legacy do you want to leave in the context of being a risk taker for God. You know, it's said that David Brooks wrote about two kinds of statement about one's life. The first is the resume that lists all your accomplishments. The second is the eulogy, who expresses who you really were. What is it you want in the eulogy about you as a risk taker in serving the Lord? The last question is, there are many ways small risks can make an impact. You might think of a raindrop on a pond that sends ripples along the surface to the shore. What we do matters, no matter how small. There are also the grand step out in faith moments in our lives too. Are you facing any of those today? Thank you for your attention in considering risk-taking and the mission of God.